Hi friends, my name is Lance, I'm an alcoholic. I'm eternally grateful for my sobriety. I don't know how to say it in words, really. I came to AA when I was 19, and it took me till I was 27 to stop fighting. And admit that I was powerless. And the last thing I wanted to be was an alcoholic. You know, and I am so grateful to be sober at a meeting. You know, many people will never hear of Alcoholics Anonymous, will never know what it's like to a different way of life. They're drinking, they're ruining their lives, they're destroying people around them, and they don't know another way of life. But here we're given second chance. And I was given many. And I just didn't understand. I was really sick, and I threw them away. And to be sober today, it's just amazing. An alcoholic right now in a blackout doesn't know what they've done. They don't know where they are. An alcoholic just killed someone drunk driving in a drunken rage. An alcoholic's just been, you know, it's gotten too bad. He goes and gets a gun. He's taken a rope. His family's found him hanging in a basement or her. An alcoholic starting his or her journey on this hellish disease. And I'm sober and I'm at a meeting. And I take that for granted at times when I'm in a hard place. And I'll realize that's a miracle. You know? Before AA, they used to throw drunks into asylums, into prisons, or they let us die. And now we can live, you know. I'm here to tell you what it's like, how I got here, and what it's like today. And I by no means am I'm carrying my message. This is my story. You know, this is what AA has done for me. This program of action. I am just Norm Alpe was an old timer, and he's passed on. And he says that you're just an example of Alcoholics Anonymous and how it works, good or bad, that's all you are. And that's all I am. This simple program gave me my life back because I was dying in the end. You know, I come from Verdun where half the people are in AA and the other half should be. And I watched alcoholism destroy my mom, my dad. I watched it destroy their friends. I watched it destroy my aunts and uncles. Everyone around me. And I thought that's the way life is. And my getting sober, I've learned that my perception was warped and it can still be today. But I was the victim of the world. That's how I saw life. And I was going to take from the world and I wasn't going to let you hurt me anymore. But that's not what happened. You know, I was just a lost little boy in a war zone. But my life by no means was hard, you know. There's people that are suffering in third world countries that are little kids starving and they have nothing to eat. There's kids, you know, in the war-torn countries, they're running, their families being killed in front of them, and I never had that. You know, I lived on every street in Verdun. I went days with midnight moving. Parents have my disease, and I lived in anger against them. And through the 12 steps, I was able to turn that around. But I hated them. And, you know, and I went to 9 elementary schools. You know, my dad would beat me and my mom sexually molested. All that stuff, it's all garbage today. I don't dwell in it anymore. You know? And the last thing I wanted to be was an alcoholic. And I was like 8 years old, I'm downtown, I'm down here at the arcade near Atwater playing till midnight. Playing street hockey in the streets of Verdun. There's no guidance. You know, I was robbing cars. I was headed for Shawbridge. I was about 12 years old. I'm living I'm living in with my dad, watching him and his friend shoot cocaine. And it's a dead end for me. I'm gonna end up in Shawbridge and I'll probably go to prison. My dad sends me to live with my auntie Happy. That was like boot camp, but I needed it. And I liked it, you know. I learned what to showering was, brush your teeth. I learned what it was to, you know, go to school every day, to live in one place, to have clean clothes. You know, and I shut down when I was 5. I was irritable, restless, discontent at an early age. And I got very angry. I was very angry. And I got very violent at an early age. In grade 3, I was going after grade 6. The people in grade 6, I was so angry. And I didn't know how to express myself. And people would pick on me because I was poor. So the only way I thought I could get respect was through violence. And that's not the way, but... So I'm living at my auntie's and things are good, you know. I'm getting into a bit of trouble, but nothing big. And I had my first drink when I was 14. And it was under peer pressure. And I just wanted to fit in. And in the first year of drinking, my stomach was pumped for alcohol poisoning. I was drinking 6-packs. And what that did was, when I had that first drink, it gave me relief from the tension, the stress, everything I felt, it gave me relief. It was a magic elixir. And I chased that for a long time. And by 17, 18, I'm a full-blown alcoholic. And I'm laughing. I think it's fun to drink Bellini wine, type of stuff. And Hermit Sherry in brown bags all the time, you know. And I'm just living the party. And I'm robbing off my friends and family. And I'm at clubs 24/7. I'm dating women who have money, so I don't have to work. And, you know, I'm a blackout drinker. I drink and I fight. That's what I do. And, I don't remember what, I remember periods of insanity, and my mind's cleared a bit since I've been sober, but 19, I pushed a Latino guy. I went outside, I drank quite a bit. They beat me almost to death with a cue ball and sock and baseball bats. And I was in intense care for 3 days, puking blood and bile, couldn't eat. I had a lot of head damage. I'm surprised I can talk and walk still. And what I do when I get out of there in the hospital, I'm never going to drink again. And the first thing I do is drink when I get out of there. Normal people, when they drink, and that's not just one incident, that's a lot of my drinking. When they drink and things like that happen, they stop. But not me. And I don't, you know, it's people, places, and things. It's not drinking that's my problem. And I'm at the Montreal psychiatric ward at Montreal General asking for help because I don't know what's wrong with me. But it's not my drinking. I'm always protecting my drinking because I go see psychiatrists, psychologists, and they'd always come to the point about drinking. Do you drink? And I'd say, yeah, but it's not my drinking. It's because of her. It's because of him. It's because of the job. It's because of society. But it's not my drinking. And it was always my drinking. And, you know, another time, just one more. I'm downtown at Foot Electric because I drink at high class establishments. And, you know, this is like where skinheads kill people and they lick their blood and stuff. It's fun stuff. And I'm going to miss the last bus. I'm going to have to take a bus to the middle of nowhere. I end up stealing a car. I steal some honest man's car. He probably had to go to work. And I joyride with it. And I'm drunk. And I could have killed myself or someone else. And that's, you know, that's not right. And that's what I mean. I'm here by the grace of God. And I get too near his house and I'm ready to ditch the car. And he goes, hey, there's fingerprints in there. I get a bright idea. So I go get his lawnmower gas. I bring the car in the middle of like 3 miles. I bring it almost further than where I was when I stole it to get to his house. And then I put the car on fire, and I'm thinking with my bright ideas and my intelligence, if I walk with my boots, they'll follow my tracks. So I take my boots off, and I'm walking barefoot in the snow. They're still going to have tracks, but that's my insanity. And I could have got frostbite in that. I never thought, you know, I just did. You know, and it was nonstop. It was always blackout. And I came to AA when I was 19. A guy came into a school. I was trying to get a high school diploma. And he told his story. And I was a very macho guy. But he talked about the way I felt. And I broke down crying in front of a lot of guys. And I said, I need help. And he said, well, come see me after the class. And he didn't talk about AA. He talked about sobriety. And then he said, there's a place you can go get help, AA. I remember going to my first meeting, looking in, and I'm sitting in the window, and I see two guys at a coffee pot, and I'm all scared. I'm walking back and forth for 15 minutes, I'm wondering what to do. And I don't know, I'm scared to come in, but I don't want to drink anymore, and I'm only 19. And I go in there, and I felt so good. And they all wanted to do is care about me. And I was so alone in despair. And when I felt at home the first time I came to AA, and I was 19 years old, and I stayed sober for 5 months, not drinking, but I didn't want to do any of your suggestions. And when you talked about me, we're not going there. If you want to talk about my drinking, that's fine. We're not going about me. It's not me, it's my booze. And, I was going after girls and bars, drinking water, and water became beer. And you're going to hear around here, if you go around the barber shop, eventually you'll get a haircut. And that's the truth, you know? So, and then I played the revolving door game with AA. And I go back to drinking, my life would get worse. 10 times worse, and then I'd come and get sober, and then my life would get worse, you know? And I played that game for a long time, and I almost died. It's a bad place. My last year of drinking, which as I remember, it was in 2001. My girlfriend had left me about a year prior to that. I was with her 5.5 years. She saw me get sober and go back to drinking, and she had enough. And I truly loved this woman, but I loved alcohol a lot more. And I destroyed a lot of her life, you know. I was that tornado they talk about in the big book. And I drank to die after that. I was doing crazy things. I was carjacking people. I was an animal. I should have been locked up a long time ago. When I was about 21, I should have been thrown in the prison and thrown away the key. But that's what I mean. God has a lot bigger plans than I do. And I just wanted to die. I felt so lonely. Everything I liked and loved was being taken away because of the disease of alcoholism. And I couldn't see it. I saw it last. And it's so lonely. And you're drinking in bars with people you can't stand, so you're not alone. You know? And I went to the doctors in 2001. It's the end of April, the end of March, beginning of April. And she said, you drink still. You're going to die in 2 years. She had done blood tests. My liver was in pain. I'm puking blood and bile when I drink. I drink Scope when I can't get booze. I have one job. I'm a technician. I'm a fax technician of her American company. I make good money. I make $12 an hour. I have insurance, health, and all that. I make my schedule, so I work 10-hour shifts. Monday, Tuesday, so I have Wednesday off, and I can drink, and then go back Thursday and Friday. And I still miss 1 to 2 days a week from drinking. I've used every excuse, you know, in the book. It comes near the end of it comes in August, and they've come to me about my drinking, and they say, you miss one more time, you're gone. And I go in on a Thursday night for just one, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm banging my hand or head on the table. And I have no excuse, so I look for the two biggest goons I can find. And then I wake up in blackouts. I'm on a stretcher. A guy's on a stretcher. I'm in the hospital. I'm looking up at lights, which usually happens. And they're telling me I might not walk again. I might not see. And I'm just worried about not losing my job. Now that to me is insanity. But that's the way I am. And to me that's normal. And it's not supposed to be like that. After that, I kept fear. Fear kept me sober. I would drink, not sober, it kept me in my apartment. I was scared to drink outside of my apartment. I didn't know if I'd kill someone or someone would kill me. I was just, my brain's like scrambled eggs. I run out of booze and I go to the cabinet of my thing and I'm looking at the cheap cologne, whatever, Old Spice and the rubbing alcohol, and I'm going, not yet, but I know this is where my life's going. And I'm thinking in my head, because I'm going to be evicted soon. I work under a table doing landscaping when I can. I make about $400 a week. I make $830 off unemployment, and I'm spending this to drink. I'm spending the money, my mom's my roommate and my drinking partner, and I'm spending all the money she gave me for bills on drinking. I'm having to sell my TV, my PlayStation. I have a pair of pants, a few shirts, and shoes, and two dogs. And I sold everything to drink. And I go to I run out, and I said, I'm going to get on the streets, because I'm getting to the point where I'm about to be living on the streets. I have nowhere to go. No one wants me. And I go empty a few months worth of bottles with mold and bugs, and I'm drinking that. And it's not a nice place to be. And my last, I'm couch surfing where I can. I get evicted. My mom throws me out because we're going to lose the apartment. And I'm couch surfing where I can. That's where if you can find a couch in someone's house to sleep on. I have two dogs. And I'm at a cockroach party, me being the biggest one. I'm the biggest cockroach there. And I had a lot of, I used to drink this high-class stuff called Colt 45. And it's charcoal-filtered beer, 8%. And they have a guarantee. It's in the bottle. It says it gets the job done every time. That's what I wanted. And I drank quite a lot. I'm eating out of a garbage can in the middle of January, the beginning of January. I'm staying here because it's warm. And there's cockroaches. You know? And I'm ready to rob a restaurant. They won't even let me drink in restaurants in Verdun. They don't have a lot of bars. They have the Verdun Yacht Club, and the biggest boat they have is a dinghy with a motor. And they call it the Verdun Yacht Club. And I can't drink anywhere because I get, they don't know what, I switch and I'm at 5 minutes, I'm blacking out at 5 minute intervals now. I don't, it's bad. And that's where I surrendered. I've been around 12 years. I'm only sober 3. I was 27 and I said, I threw down the gloves. I remember crying, and I remember a voice coming to me, and I believe it's God, and no one could tell me different. It's Lance, what happened? All that potential. At one time I was a sober a year, and I went back to school, and I got my high school diploma. I got valedictorian. I got a scholarship for Concordia, and I threw that all away. What happened to all the women that were in your life that helped you? You know, and I never seen it. What happened to all your potential? I threw it all away. You know, and many people helped me all my life. There was always good people, counselors, nurses, teachers, family members. And they would always try to get through me. And I would say, oh, you're trying to, judge me, take away my fun. And the sad thing about the disease of alcoholism is that the alcoholic sees it last when his life is destroyed. It's so sad. I threw that down. I tried to, I had nowhere to go. My brain scrambled eggs. I have two dogs. And I'm living in laneways. It's not really fun. And I tried to white knuckle it. I was seeing this girl, or a hostage, I should say, who had two kids, and she was on welfare. And I forced my way back in there and for 2 days. And I white knuckled it, and then I went to this group called Wednesday Gordon. I remember it clearly. And, not clearly, but my brain was scrambled eggs. And I went there, and I remember it came up to the chip, and I had enough to make a disco ball. I really did, I said, Lance, something was telling me, I believe it's God. I said, Lance, what are you going to do different? They tell you to do this, you do that. They tell you to go there, you go here. What's going to be different, Lance? Really, And I've been around enough times to A that I had, people that really wanted to help me, I'd abuse their help. I would use them, and then, they didn't really want to help me again. So I was like, I'm going to do whatever they say, because my way doesn't work. And it took me 9 years of coming in and out to accept step one. And I don't wish it upon anyone. It's very a simple program. It's laid out in this book, the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. This book is the book I live by. I try the best of my ability to live by this book. To me, this is the AA message. This is how you get sober and stay sober. I surrendered and I threw down the gloves and I said, I'll do whatever you say. And I looked for somebody who talked about the 12 steps. And I'm forever grateful God put this man in my path. He taught me love. He loved me when I didn't even love myself. He took time out of his family. He took time from his job. He took time from whatever he was doing to come help me. And he showed me the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, I go to meetings. I do whatever he said because I didn't want to drink. And I realized one thing I had to do, and he taught me one of the greatest gifts that I could have is to get honest and be honest. I didn't know what honesty was. I'm a thief, I'm a liar, I'm a con. And I'm going to do whatever I have to get you, you know, and to get what I want and need. And he taught me that. And no one really wanted to help me because I had abused all the help they'd given me. I'd used them and then they're like, well, you know, Lance, can't really help you. You know, and it took time, and I decided then I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get sober. I joined like two groups. I got involved in service. I started doing phone lines with some guy. I'd go there and play crib with him when we weren't on the phone and we talked about sobriety. I started going to the prison meetings, and I love the prison meetings. It's the first place I felt safe. I threw down my walls. And, all the guys in prison had more sobriety than me. I was about 3 months sober. And because my sponsor was going, I got a sponsor, and I decided to listen to what he said and trust him. You know? And I wasn't a guy that trusted many people. And so I go with him. And I went there intensely for 6 months. I couldn't work. I was collecting welfare in the beginning. I just stayed the meetings. I didn't want to drink. When I get too busy for AA, I get a so-called life. I'm too busy for sobriety. I start getting well in my head. Next thing you know, I'm drinking. So the first... So I did that. And then I started going these men's intense weekends. And I didn't like men or trust men. You know? Especially my dad. And I was able to break that wall there. I started doing 12-step workshops, learning about the 12 steps, and I still do today. I'm really working on step 2 today. My insane thinking comes back once in a while, and I really need to believe in a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. And, I started going, I help alcoholics. I do that today. I keep it simple. I apply the measures I did when I begin, and I apply them today, and it works. It's a very simple program. If you read this book, from the beginning, the first 164 pages, and you read it from the beginning to the end, there's two things in every chapter it's going to talk about. It's going to talk about God, and it's going to talk about helping others. And that's what it's about here. It's to develop a relationship with a higher power, so you can gain your sanity back, your health back, your spirituality back, all that back. And he's going to walk, or she's going to walk, or it's going to walk with you in life. And it's going to carry you through when you can't carry yourself. And on top of that, through that, and you're going to help people get sober. It's the only way you can keep your sobriety is passing it on. And they're going to carry you through the hard times. And next thing you know, you have true friends, brothers and sisters that are walking the same path as you. And we're all in the same boat. And, I was a guy that bought this book many times and threw it in a drawer on the top of the shelf. And it collected a lot of dust. But I started reading it and I started relating and I started seeing myself a lot in there. And it really, it's fundamental to me if you want to come here and you want to get well and you want to recover from the disease of alcoholism that you get this book and start studying it. Because this is the textbook of, this is the blueprint of sobriety right here. And I'm not a guy that likes to read. but I love that book. I study it a lot. And I started going the distance. I had to work for food when I got sober. I had nothing. I'd have to go to this place, and I'd serve an hour, and I'd get a meal. It was a community restaurant. You know, and I was remember the doubts in the beginning, and my friend Dominic would call me. Come to a meeting. Yeah, but no, come to a meeting. You know, and you'd sit 3 hours in the cafe with me, listening to me to mumble bullshit, and, you know, he'd just be there. And he carried me through. You know, I was lost. I go to lots of meetings. And I think you need to go to meetings, you know. There's so much that's happened to me since, you know. I'm getting married in 9 weeks. I can't believe that. I work today. I pay my taxes. I become a human being. I was an animal. I wasn't human. I am truly blessed. I have true friends in my life. You know, I have my sanity back. I wake up in the morning knowing what I did the night before. That's weird for me. You know, there's so much I could tell you, you know, I really could. But this program works. And that's, you know, people who say AA doesn't work is because they're not working AA. You know, this isn't for people who need it, it ain't people for want it. This thing works for people who work it. It's a program of action. It's outlining. I did all the talking on the bar stool. I was going to be the rock star, the millionaire, whatever. And what did I end up? I ended up drunk. Because when I sobered up, I wanted to get drunk again. Because I had to look at me and I couldn't look at me. And I learned in here, 10% of the problem is booze. 90% of the problem is the alcoholic. So I have to start looking at me. And those 12 steps give me tools to deal with me. And I didn't want to be the person I was anymore. And I'm becoming the person I'm meant to be today with the help of God and 12 steps. I have God in my life. And I wasn't a guy that talked a lot about God. I didn't want to know that God shit. And I believe in God today. He works in everyone's life. You know, I am. You know, the keystone of my sobriety is gratitude. But gratitude isn't a word, it's an action. I'll never be able to give Alcoholics Anonymous, back to Alcoholics Anonymous, 2% of what it's given me. But I'm going to try to the best of my ability to give back as much as I can to this fellowship. And the sad thing is, many people come to AA, stay a while, and they end up going back out that door. You know, they don't want to do the work, they don't want to change, they don't want to learn about the 12 steps, they don't want to get a sponsor, they don't want to, you know, the first few days, they'll do anything because their life's in shambles. And then about 3 weeks later, they start taking their will back and they're not as bad as anyone else, they start judging, and a few months later, they're out the door. I was at a detox center last week with my sponsor. And a guy that was 16 years sober was 10 days in that detox, taking a beginner's chip. I see people go back drinking. You don't have to. If you just follow this simple program, you know, it's a sad thing. And a lot of people are going to die drunk in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I could tell you so much. But really, please, just give us a try, you know. Give it an honest try. The worst thing is, you can always go back to that way of life. I tried it. It beat me to a pulp. It almost took my life. I went to the gates of insanity and death. And I was almost gone. And I'm living today. I'm living proof this program works. If you apply it to your life. There's so much I could tell you. You know, I really could. I don't want to go on and on. The disease of alcoholism and the ism is the internal spiritual malady that's at it. It doesn't matter what age you are, gender, or you know, it doesn't matter what sex you are, male or female. If you have it, it's going to take everything you like and love, and it's going to take you. And if you ever fall off this path, that you find your way back here, I really hope and pray that you do. And that if you do fall off, that you find your way back here. Because that light at the end of the tunnel, it fades one day and it ain't there. You know? Really, it's very simple. It's a day at a time program. And if you haven't related to anything I've said, please give yourself another chance and go to another meeting. There's over 100 meetings. There's over 400 meetings in all different kinds of languages. But please, give yourself a chance, you know. It's really worth the journey. It's very exciting sobriety. I've been to places, I've met amazing people. You know, things that I've seen, things I wouldn't have never saw with the best booze in my system. I am so grateful and I thank you so much for my sobriety. God bless and have a great 24 hours.